Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What you're listening to is called Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Hey, we talked to Ilhami Kanur into staying over for a few minutes, and he's going to be talking. We're going to change subjects, though, because he hails from his homeland is Turkey. And wow, Turkey's been all in the news the last few months. It's a very crucial place on the planet because of it intersects Europe, the so-called Christian West, although Europe's pretty well left that behind, the Christian part of it, with the Islamic world. And Turkey is kind of at the crossroads, and it's right next to Syria. It's not too far from Israel. There's so much, and it's ancient. The history there in Asia Minor, Turkey today. So we're going to talk to Ilhami about that. I think you're going to find this extremely interesting, folks. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to do that. But first of all, Ryan Dobson is on the phone with us, and Ryan is with the Family Talk, and he's also the son of James Dobson, Dr. James Dobson. And Ryan has a ministry. He speaks all across the country. Ryan, good morning and welcome to the program. I'm Tim with Ed.
Hey, Tim. How are you? It's great to see you. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Ryan?
Thank you. What are you
doing? Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. How long have you been with Family Talk now?
Well, I was with Family Talk for 6.5 years, and I stepped down in January. My wife and I have started a new ministry called Rebel Parenting. It's a broadcast of our own, and our first broadcast airs on November 5th.
November 5th, and I should have made note of that. I just so used
to
that's
all right.
You're just so used to you being on Family Talk that it's just like, anyway. But you speak nationally to all kind of groups. What's your focus of your talks?
You know, I've been doing a lot of events with the Pregnancy Resource Center and Crisis Pregnancy Homes. I was in Maryland this past week speaking for one of them. It's just such an amazing, amazing ministry. These girls are in trouble. They don't know what to do. Although it happens millions of times a year, I always hear them say how alone they feel. And these Pregnancy Resource Centers just show them the love of Jesus, open their arms, and they're not only saving lives temporally here on earth, they're saving them eternally, and that's why I'm out there.
Talking to Ryan Dobson, do you ever get tired of being introduced as son of?
You know what? I don't. I did when I was younger, but it was because I was immature about it. My dad is, I mean, he's like you. You guys are amazing. We wouldn't be here without you. Can you imagine where our country would be if it wasn't for James Dobson and all the work he's done? I just follow in his footsteps, and I'm honored to be his son. That sounds cliche. It's really not. I love my dad. We're almost best friends. We just got back from Alaska. My dad took my son and I to Alaska to go fly fishing. It was the greatest trip of my life.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Well, you make me look really good. I took my son to a football game. Wow.
So now we've been trying to cross this off our bucket list for years. The greatest time. It was so much fun being father and son, and being a son and a father. It was just awesome.
And Ryan, I did hear you say that your dad is awesome, and you said, and Tim, you're awesome. But I'm just sitting here just waiting for some sort of compliment, Ryan. I mean, you know,
sensitive.
Am I? Role, man. We were both co-hosts. I was co-hosting my dad for a while to make the primary look good. And I know you do a great job of that.
Right. You're feeling me. I know that.
Co-host. I really like it. I like doing it with my wife now, too, though. Laura and I have our own broadcast, Rebel Parenting. And,
right.
You know, just trying to follow my dad's footsteps for this new generation. And that's why these pregnancy resource centers are so needed. I mean, we have an election year. I don't vote for candidates and parties. I vote for ideals and beliefs, and I believe in the unborn. And we know how this election is going to play out for the unborn if it goes one way or the other. And that's why it's so important with the Supreme Court and all of these issues. This is maybe the most important election in our nation's history.
Talking to Ryan Dobson, and Ryan is going to be in Tupelo, Mississippi on Thursday, October the 13th. He's going to be the keynote speaker at the Celebration of Adoption event put on by New Beginnings, which is a national adoption agency. They're based here in Tupelo. That's how we know the good folks at New Beginnings, but they serve the nation in their adoption. You're going to be speaking here so you're going to be Thursday, October the 13th. And, Ed, you want to tell them how to get more information or for people who want to attend?
Well, this, go ahead, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Ed. I didn't know you had all the information. I got to be honest. You guys are prepared. I do interviews all the time. I'm having to give everything. I love this. NewBeginningsAdoptions.org is the website, and all the information is there. Man, we'd love to have people come out. I really have to be picky about where I go. I've got kids at home. I don't like to leave, and so I know New Beginnings Adoptions is a great organization.
Well, and New Beginnings, I don't have my reading glasses on. NewBeginningsAdoptions.org, they can get more information. You know, Ryan, one of the accusations that's thrown, not only at you, but other pro-life Christians, pro-life organizations, is that, you know, the pro-abortion side says, oh, all you want to do is save babies, but you don't care about kids once they get older. All you want to do is save babies. But Christians have been fighting for adoption. This is something the Christian community believes strongly in. New Beginnings is one of those. So Christians are trying to do their due diligence, aren't they, in terms of adoption?
Oh, 100%. You couldn't be more right. It's a good-sounding argument until you just dig a tiny bit deeper. You get a half inch below the surface of that argument, it falls apart. Because Christians are fostering more kids than any other group out there. We donate to children's homes and organizations like that. My wife was with an organization here in Colorado Springs called Joel's Home. And in the Colorado Springs area, it's a Christian couple from our church, and they work with the foster kids who graduate from fostering without a family. These 18-year-old kids have nobody, no family. They don't have any advice, you know, all the things you need as an adult. How do you get a loan? All the things I go to my parents for. Is this a smart decision? Can I get your advice on that? This couple is so great with them. We care about all aspects of life, whether it is the infirm or the aged, the, you know, mentally incapable, the unborn. Conservatives and Christians care about all lives, not some, all lives.
Amen. Talking to Ryan Dobson. Ryan will be Ryan travels the country. What's your website, Ryan?
It is rebelparenting.org.
And Ryan will be in Tupelo, Mississippi, speaking October the 13th to Thursday. For the Celebration of Adoption event sponsored by New Beginnings. New Beginnings is a national adoption agency. You can find out more information by going to the website. The website is, I'm sitting here, I don't have my reading glasses on either.
NewBeginningsAdoptions.org. NewBeginningsAdoptions.org.
It's in really small print.
NewBeginningsAdoptions with an S.org, or you can call them at 662-842-6752. The number to call New Beginnings to come to the event where Ryan will be speaking, 662-842-6752. Thanks, Ryan. Take care. We look forward to seeing you, brother.
Me too, Tim and Ed. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I'll see all of you on October 13th, this Thursday, at New Beginnings Adoptions.
Okay.
NewBeginningAdoptions.org.
Ryan Dobson. Say hello to your dad, and we look forward to seeing him again real soon sometime, okay?
Yes, sir. I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay. Talking to Ryan Dobson there. What a family legacy.
Yeah, amen. And we were just teasing him a little bit, but he obviously loves his dad, has a lot of respect for him, which anybody who's been in the pro-family, pro-life movement, you know, for over the last, you know, 35, they know and respect his dad as well, James Dobson. He's been, like your dad, and like several others, Jerry Falwell and others, just titans in the pro-family movement and pro-life movement.
Dr. James Dobson... I think at one time the Focus on the Family program, when he was the host there, was the number two most listened to. He was right behind Paul Harvey In terms of the number of people weekly that listen to a radio show.
Yeah.
Focus on the Fan. He's in the Radio Hall of Fame. I'm in the Secular Radio Hall of Fame, James Dobson. That's how much influence and powerful his radio broadcast was. And you know what? The guy remains and always remained very humble.
Yes.
I got to know him because he was a friend of my dad, Don Wildman, and Dad was on his show many times. This is before we even had an American Family radio station.
Right.
And, of course, we carried Focus on the Family and then later Family Talk that Dr. Dobson hosted. But just a very down-to-earth, humble guy.
Right.
As you say, is a general.
Yeah.
In the pro-family Christian movement in America. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Talked Ilhami Kanur into staying over to talk about a different subject. We talked about their academy in South Dakota, Windswept Academy. But Ilhami, we did make mention that you were raised in Turkey.
Yes.
Grew up there. How many years did you?
I lived there.
Born and raised.
I was born and then until I was 19. And then
I went, though, at one time.
Yes, I was born.
Okay, I think that's important to note here because not everybody's born. That's right. There are some people who just sort of pop in.
Yeah, we don't know where they came from.
We don't know where they came from. Some of them were at the debate last night.
I'm looking at one.
I know. We're not going to call any names. But some of them look like aliens. But anyway, so you grew up in Istanbul, Turkey. Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
Very famous city. And where'd you go to? Is it much like life in America in the sense that kids go to school through high school or college and they get a job in the family? Is it that kind of way of life?
That kind of way of life. It's
you were nominally Muslim, right?
Yes, in general.
If you're born there, it's kind of like being born in America so many years ago when everybody's considered a Christian.
Yes.
Just by fact that unless you're something distinctive, they're going to put you in the Christian because you're an American. But in Turkey, everybody's if you're born there, you're
99.9.
You're considered a Muslim, right?
Yes.
Even if you don't go to mosque or don't turn to Mecca and pray, you're just
Yeah.
Is that like a religion. Nominal Christian in America? You would say goes to church a couple times a year.
Yes.
A nominal Muslim.
Well, we call them the modern Muslims.
Modern Muslims.
So they have, like you said, they went to school, went up the ladder, they found jobs, got
married. They respect
married.
Allah and the Quran.
Yeah,
they don't believe in God.
And they just go around their business.
Was that you? Am I describing you?
Yes.
Okay, then what happened?
Then there is a radical sector in the country.
In Turkey. Okay, then we reset this for just a minute politically, because this is what I wanted to talk to you about. There was a coup.
Yes.
In Turkey. A few months back, it was all over the news for several weeks, and Turkey is known as a pretty stable country.
Yes, it is,
and it's supposed to be a secular republic, right?
Yes, it is.
That's why people were shocked.
Founded
in the 20s.
Matter of fact, the only predominantly Muslim country that is a secular democracy,
right?
Yes, is Turkey.
So they are an example to a lot of countries in the Middle East, and also upcoming countries from the old Soviet republics. They look to Turkey to lead their way into the proper direction.
You don't want to destabilize Turkey. It's bad for the region and bad for the world.
That's right.
And so when that coup took place, attempted coup, I should say, of their president. Who is the president? What does he represent? And why would somebody try to overthrow him?
Well, President Erdogan in Turkey, who used to be the prime minister of the country.
Okay.
But then the last several years, the laws have been changed, and now the presidents have much more power than the prime ministers.
Okay.
And the coup, to tell you the truth, I still this day, 100%, I cannot get a clear answer from my family and friends behind it. First, they assumed it was a coup to overthrow the government by the military. And this has happened in Turkish history 3-4 times.
Right.
Successfully, Turkish military came and overthrew the government of that time.
Kind of like what happened in Egypt not too long ago. The military took over.
Yeah, but by Turkish constitution, it is almost by the public, it is accepted that the military comes over and takes over and cleans the house a little bit and then opens it up within a year or so, open elections again. When Atatürk, the founder of modern Turkey, established this republic, gave to the military a very big job to overseer of the country, because Turkey is also a melting pot. There's a lot of nationalities, different sects of religion. They are Muslims, but there are different sects. Most Turks are Sunni Muslims, but there are Shiite Muslims in there, some, you know,
Turkey
other religions.
Was created after World War One, right?
Right.
I mean, it was carved up.
Well, it was the Ottoman Empire was collapsed.
Yes.
And then the West kind of divided.
That's why Atatürk came and saved, so to speak, the country.
Who did?
Atatürk. Atatürk. In 1923, declared the Turkish Republic, and people thought that there was going to be another sultan. And he said, no, we are not. The sultanate is gone. Ottoman Empire is dead.
There would be a king.
No more kings.
Because the Ottoman Empire, it was over what is now Turkey, but also the Middle East.
Entire Middle East.
And
some of the Eastern Europe.
The
Northern Africa.
The Ottoman Empire was in the war, World War One, and the losing side.
With the Germans.
And so then the Western allies divided it up. So all these countries in the Middle East.
Yes.
They're artificially,
you know, borders drawn. But you're saying that Atatürk, I'm not probably not pronouncing it the way you would, but that he saved Turkey, prevented it from being carved up.
Totally.
Because he said, we're going to make it a Western Republic.
That's exact. I was going to come to that. And he consistently spoke to the people, we have to look towards West, not to East. We are Turks. We have our own language, our own. Turkey has a huge history.
They're not Arabs.
No, they are not Arabs.
They're not Arabs. They're not Persians. They're
and there is a distinct language. Turkish language is totally different than Arabic language. So he kind of talked to the people, but the First World War and also the Second World War, actually, Turkey was on the wrong side again with the Germans, and they survived. And then their biggest plan right now to keep their own borders, the integrity of the borders that they have no eyes on somebody else's territory, but they also will fight till death keep their own territory's integrity.
We're talking to Ilhami Kanur. How do people get in touch with you? Maybe there's somebody listening who's a Turk, who's Turkish American. Did you just go to Windswept Academy?
They can go to Windswept Academy, or they can go iKonur@AOL.com.
How do you spell that?
The letter I and then KONUR@AOL.com.
Now, today, Turkey is bordered by Syria. It's bordered by Syria.
And Iraq.
And Iraq. So ISIS.
And Iran.
So, and the ocean, the Mediterranean, right?
Mediterranean on the south.
And there's so much history there. I'd love to go into the history, but I want to talk about the here and now, too, because ISIS is just to the south of Turkey.
Yes.
And a lot of the refugees from Syria, namely, are the Turkish government has taken in and provided for them.
Yes.
What is going on there? You were telling me last night it's very complicated.
It is.
Because you've got the Kurds, who have been the Turkish enemies of Turks.
Yes.
But the Americans are trying to work with the Kurds to fight ISIS.
ISIS.
And the Turkish government understands ISIS is bad news, too. They don't want them. So.
Yes, that's right.
And then you got the civil war in Syria. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's a total mess, and that's where the peculiar situation is. I don't think Turkey... The Turkish people right now can figure out what side they belong and where they should stand, because it's so complicated. First, people thought Turkish government is staying back and let ISIS fight the Kurds so that they kill each other, because they both are enemy of Turkey. But Kurds have been terrorizing Turkey the last 35 years. Millions of people.
Because they want their own land carved out of Turkey,
That's right, the eastern part of Turkey. There are about 10 to 12 million Kurdish Turks live in Turkey, even though they are Turkish citizens, but they are Kurds. And it's a very difficult dynamic.
Are you terrorizing Turkey?
Oh, yeah. Consistently. Okay. Every week, there is a place in the eastern Turkey, kids women.
Okay, I see.
They
bombed. The Turks, even though we in the U.S. think, okay, the Kurds are the good guys because they're fighting ISIS.
ISIS, that's correct.
We have, if you want to view things as Turks do, no, they're not the good guys. They've been doing what ISIS is doing to our people for
many
a long time. So I got you. I'm seeing this now.
So finally, the Turks are saying the world is seeing because of the atrocities that the ISIS is doing on people.
Right.
Well, the Kurds weren't that bad. They were just bombing and killing people, blowing people up.
Right.
But
not because of a caliphate, but because of land. They wanted
exactly
land.
Right.
Right.
It's not a religious war. It's a territorial war.
For the Kurds.
That's right, for the Kurds. ISIS, it's a religious war. ISIS will kill even other Muslims who are not following their footsteps. My Turkish friends and family, people are saying they've never seen anything like it.
Anything like what?
ISIS, the atrocities.
Oh, okay. I mean, and these are Muslims.
They're Muslims, yes.
Right, and they're appalled. They're just
because
they're so barbaric.
So now I have a feeling. This is my personal own investigation and talking with different people in Turkey. Is that I think there is a nearing between Turkish and the American government right now, seeing that this could blow up to be a big problem, way bigger than ISIS, if something is not done. Because Russian forces are in northern Syria fighting right now. Turkish forces have been in Syria for years, before even this ISIS problem started, to control that border, because that border was just like our southern border, open. People were coming.
So it's a powder keg over there, isn't it?
Oh, it is a
powder keg. Because it involves Syria, Russia, the
Russia,
Kurds,
and
Turks,
the Americans.
And the Americans.
What do you think?
We got about 2 minutes.
All right, 2 minutes. So last night during the debate, I don't know if you watched that or not, but you know, they were talking about this, and the question was had arisen about Russia and what they're doing. Do you think Russia is up to no good in that area, or because they're saying they're trying to protect Assad, and you know, of course, you know, Putin is saying no, we're trying to destroy ISIS. What do you think as you look from across the ocean here?
They're definitely not destroying ISIS. Their interest is to protect Assad because they have been working with Assad years. That is their territory, and Russia does not want to lose Assad, because if they lose Assad
is a satellite of Russia.
That's right.
And if Assad is gone,
Russia is kicked out.
Yeah.
Right. So and they have interest in that part of the
world. That's exactly right.
So they even have a military. They have a naval base in Syria. Do the Russians have a?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
But it's a satellite country,
right,
basically for Russia on the Mediterranean.
That's right. And they're fighting their hardest not to lose their footing in Syria.
Right.
Everybody is also afraid of Turkey because Turkey is also the most powerful military in that region.
Right.
They don't let Turks go in any place because they are in the fear of if Turkey captures land, they might not leave.
Right. And they've been throughout history very fierce fighters.
Yes.
They have a good. This is not a pretend military like Iraq had when we had the first Gulf War. They are the serious, a serious army.
Yes, right. It is.
Well, and man. Then you got Israel, not too far from there.
Yeah.
You know,
but Turkey and Israel friends again.
Yes, praise God for that. The Israelis need, and the Turks need each other for a stabilized region.
That's right.
And a civilized region.
Middle East,
As best as possible. Wow, thanks for sharing all that with us, Ilhami.
Thank you.
Ilhami Kanur with us. He's raised in Turkey and an American citizen now. You can find out more about his ministry at windsweptacademy.org.
A Christ-centered Christian school on that
Indian reservation. All right, folks, thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.